You might have been expecting to hear about gentleness this morning, mostly because that's what last week's bulletin said I was going to talk about. We're not going to talk about gentleness this morning. We're going to do that next week. Because I'm not done talking about faith yet. I've said many times when I've been teaching classes, especially when I was teaching teen classes, that learning is good, but thinking is better. Well, when we have classes set up the way they are with different teachers so on, in our own style, sometimes when we build on each other's lessons, I think we really can get some thinking going. And the last couple weeks, Bill picked up where I was talking about with faith, and on Sunday night, we were telling stories about faith and talking about the actions of faith and how we see it, and it got me thinking. And thinking is good, I think. I shared with Bill after class that I had stories to share, but didn't do it because there's so much discussion going on. I usually figure everybody hears from me enough that if other people are willing to talk, I'm going to let them talk in class. But now it's my turn to talk again. So I was thinking this week, and I was talking it over with Rachel, and I said, I think gentleness can wait one more week. Because I got thinking about what we were doing on Sunday class. That's honest, it's not very loud, huh? And I wanted to share some of my stories. As I was writing this down, I don't know how much of this I have shared before. I know there are pieces that I have. Others, I don't know. If they're repeated, I'm sorry. Like I said, I used to give preachers a hard time about repeating stories. I don't do that anymore. Because I do that. I know. But I wanted to share some of my story of faith. Some of the things that took me from the start when I was a teenager up to where I am now, and hopefully give me some idea where I'm going. One aspect of why I wanted to get into this was because of a question that came up Sunday night about if the way we look at our faith stories and God acting faithfully in our lives and our faith in God and how it impacts things, is that just a matter of how we look at things? And most said, yeah, I think it's how you look at it. And I think there's probably some truth to that. I think we have to admit there are some people who are good at finding good in everything, and there are some people that are good at finding trouble in everything. You can have two people tell the same story, and it can end up looking very, very different. For instance, we'll see how the volume is on this. I found a video that I want to share, short video, about a scary movie. About a movie that was very dark with a very nasty villain named Mary Poppins. We'll see if this works. Somebody has taken bits and pieces from Mary Poppins to put together this trailer for the movie Scary Mary. And we'll see if it works. You never know. I'm guessing most of you have seen Mary Poppins. I thought I had a chance. sometimes this works and sometimes it doesn't. There's no rhyme or reason, is there, Bill? Sometimes it loads and sometimes it doesn't. I don't think it's going to do it this time. Darn it. Yeah, the tone already, right? Maybe if it's not full screen. You know, I keep confessing that I'm no good with this technology stuff, and then I keep trying to use it. Reload. Anytime you've taken this long to do this short of a clip, has it ever felt worth it? I don't know. All right. Well, if you can imagine, you said you've seen this movie, and this mysterious creature blows in from we don't know where, and all of the other nanny candidates, what happens to them? They get blown away. They don't have a chance. And, you know, clips of things popping up around the nursery and children, and there's a creepy thing, and we're spinning around really fast. Remember that? And she sings this song about stay awake, don't fall asleep. You know, you can tell a story and make it say what you want it to say. You can take, the two people tell the same story and make completely different points. As I've taken a very long time to make that point. So I think there is some element of the way we look at our stories of faith is a matter of perspective and looking at it. But like I shared Sunday night, I look at my own story, and I feel there have been times where I don't know how you can look at it and come up with anything but. So I don't want to take too long, and I'm not going to try any more videos. I was going to say that if anybody was too troubled by the scary Mary Poppins video, I did see some other trailers of a very lighthearted family comedy called The Shining. It kind of mixed it around, but we're not going to try that. So here is my story. I hope that that something in this either can encourage or just help you understand who I am a little more, or maybe make you think about your own story. So my story in four chapters. Chapter 1, Stepping Out in Faith. This was June 2001, right? Right. And I had been baptized a year earlier and trying to figure out what my place is supposed to be. And this was summer camp time. We were a few weeks into summer camp, and I had been thinking about what am I supposed to be doing as if I'm going to be sharing my faith with campers, if I'm preparing for possible ministry, which at that point was something I was only starting to think about, I need to figure out what it is I'm supposed to be doing. So I remember sitting in church Sunday morning, let's see, it would have been this side of the room near the front at Lapeer. And I decided I'm going to make a deal with God. I've heard lots of people talking about this, talking about acting in faith and stepping out and saying, God, show me what I'm supposed to do, and as long as you show me, I'm going to do it. And one aspect of that I was thinking of was I'd heard people talk about trying to outgive God, about that you'll be blessed if you take the step of faith, to start giving, and I never had done that much at that point. I was 17, and I was starting to make money. Not a lot of money. I told you it was camp. But I said, I'm making some money. I have some blessing. I'm going to give some back. And so I prayed and made the commitment that from here on, if I am getting money, I am giving money. And people say, test God in that way and see what happens. Well, I want to see what happens. So I put $20 in. And I told God there's more. That's coming every week that I get my big old camp check. And that day, camp starts. Right? Sunday, we do our meetings and everything is started. And I'm moving stuff to the dorm. I see a staff member that I don't recall seeing before. I enjoyed messing with people who take themselves too seriously. I still do. And I saw this girl had a bandana wrapped tight, and she just had this look that's going to be a target this week. She's going to be fun to mess with because she looks like she takes herself too seriously. And I got to know her pretty well. She was assigned to go do archery with groups. And my group, very early on in the week, went over to archery. And Rachel's trying to tell my group what to do. If you didn't pick up already what's going on here. And maybe some of you heard the story about how I won her over on the archery range that day. She tells a different version of the story. And I was talking a big game with my archery skills. She said, well, yeah, I bet you can't hit a bullseye. If you do, I'll buy you a slush. She didn't know that this has been my archery range and my bow here, you know, since I was 7 at camp. And I pulled bullseye, ring outside the bullseye, bullseye. The way I tell the story is, you know, it was all over from there. But I don't want to get too far off from my stepping out in faith story. That week, I got to get to know Rachel by being me. God brought her to camp. It was the first time she'd worked at camp. I'm wrong, I guess. She came to camp for entirely different reasons. You can talk to her about that story. Came to, you know, I loved the archery range at camp. Practice on that every year. That's where we met. And then we were talking, and she likes playing basketball. Well, let's go play some basketball. And she ended up getting assigned to my group for a few different things. She may have arranged that. I don't know. Again, that's, I have to talk to her story. We decided to try going out when I had my night out the next week at camp. I don't think that's a thing anymore. Staff got to go out for one night as we tried that out. And you know, last week, celebrated our 14th anniversary. There are a lot of ways you could tell that story. For me, I can't miss that connection of stepping out in faith and saying, God, I know you've got big things for me, and I want to know what they are, and I want to be a part of it. I'm in your move. That same day, first time a girl ever agreed to go out with me. Worked out. My life was changed that day. Set into motion a lot of things that made me who I am. And I don't think that it's just a way of looking at it. I think I stepped out in faith. I got more than I could have imagined. Story moves on. Skip almost 2 years. I go to attend Rochester College, and I'm a youth ministry major. But I also wanted to take Calculus 2, just for fun, like people do. I signed up for Calc 2 because I like math. I thought, hey, maybe I'll even do a math minor just for fun. You get that. You've been there, I'm sure. So I'm doing my ministry classes, and I'm doing my other gen ed classes, and I'm doing Calc 2, and it's going less well than math did in high school. Let's see. This morning, Calvin didn't know I was talking about this. I don't know where it came from. He told me, you know, my lowest grade I've ever gotten is an A-. My lowest grade I've ever gotten came in Calc 2. My first year, first semester at Rochester College. I got a C+. Really tank a GPA. And I realized at the end of that semester, or maybe before the end, calculus may not be as fun as I thought that it was before. And maybe there are better uses of my time than a math minor. I had already signed up for Calc 3, though. And when the grades came around, I said, I think we need to do something different. I took a look at my schedule, and I didn't want to ruin it too much. I liked the other stuff that I had. I wanted to find something that fit in. I said, well, the only Bible class that fits in that time spot where Calc 3 was going to be was a class called Minor Prophets. I said, I don't know anything about Minor Prophets. Never done a whole lot with the Old Testament. I guess I'll give it a try. And I signed up for Minor Prophets because it fit into that spot where Calc 3 had been stuck in there. And maybe you've heard some about that Minor Prophets class that I took. I'm an Old Testament guy now, right? That started in Minor Prophets. My main mentor at the college for the rest of the time I was there and beyond, even now when I get offered a new class, I send a message to this guy saying, what do you got? Craig Bowman taught Minor Prophets. And it's the first time I was in his class. And I wrote a paper in Minor Prophets class where Dr. Bowman said, try to come up with an idea to unify all 12 Minor Prophets and have it make sense. And his punchline at the end was going to be, see, none of them work, right? And Dave Vine said, huh, that's interesting. That might work. And so we spent the next 2 years working on this idea, and it turned into several papers, and I ended up presenting it at a few different conferences, and really is what turned me into that Old Testament guy. During that class, Craig Bowman looked at me and said, I'm going to turn you into a biblical studies major by the end of this. And the second year, I didn't have to worry about that math minor anymore. Double major, youth ministry and biblical studies. And if it was not for that path that I was on, I know for certain I would not have kept working on my master's degree, which means I would not have been eligible to work at the college. Teach at the college, which has been such a fulfilling thing for me and for my ministry. But as I was going down that path of youth ministry and biblical studies and writing on Minor Prophets and doing all that and trying to figure out how to keep paying for college, there was apparently a discussion going on that I wasn't a part of the ACE lab, the Academic Center for Excellence, the tutoring lab on campus, was trying to fill in a spot for a math tutor, and they couldn't find anybody to do it. And somebody who had been one of their few math guys around said, well, there was this guy who was in my Calc 2 class. He doesn't do math anymore, but he was pretty good. C+. And so they get a hold of me and said, would you like to tutor some math? So I can tutor math. I'm not tutoring Calc 2, right? No, we're doing algebra. Well, I can do algebra. And I started tutoring algebra. They said, you know, we probably could use another Bible guy as well. So I became the only person in the ACE lab who was allowed to work as many hours as I worked because I was doing different areas. And somehow, mysteriously, every time it was time to make a payment to the college, I had just about that exact amount on my bank account. I empty it out every time and keep going to school. Amazing how that works out. Right. I call this the hands on my shoulders. Because yeah, I don't like to think of, you know, close a door and open a window or those sorts of things. That doesn't always make sense to me, at least in my experience. But you know when you're going through a room with somebody's hands on your shoulders, they can take you where they want you to go. Right? I thought I was going this direction. I said, yeah, we'll take you that direction for a little bit. It's going to help. But ultimately, we're going over here. As I look at my story of faith, I see how I've been guided. Sometimes in the way that I think I'm going to go, sometimes someplace I never would have guessed. I would not have signed up for Minor Prophets. Except it was the only thing available since I'd already gotten myself in so deep with calculus. Maybe it's just the way I look at it. I don't know. Maybe our God does pretty incredible things. Chapter 3, not coincidence, God incidents. I'm going to speed up because I haven't been speeding up. So, get through undergrad, working on that graduate degree. We're living in Rochester. That pretty girl from camp, you know. Yeah. We're married and living in Rochester, and we need to get out of our apartment. For one, we have baby on the way. An apartment that's not great, and you know they keep raising rent every year just to see how long they can keep you going. We decided to get out. We don't know what we're going to do, and I'd been trying to get youth ministry jobs. Hadn't been working. I've shared. I've never gotten a ministry job that I've interviewed for. And I tried, and it wasn't working. And so we said, we don't know what we're going to do. Well, maybe we'll just go find some place to rent for a little while. Maybe go back to the Lapeer area, nice church over there, just find a place to rent. And I was talking to my mom and telling her, well, this is what we've been talking about. We think maybe just going to have to rent someplace. The day before, she had been talking to my aunt, lived in Lapeer, except she'd been working in South Carolina. And my uncle really wanted to be able to go down with her. They didn't want to quite sell their house, but thought maybe we could find somebody to rent our house out to. That would really be ideal, but I don't know how tricky that would be. Coincidence, right? And my mom says, will you call your Aunt Becky right now? And it worked out. And we started attending at Lapeer. And I thought, you know, just because I don't have a youth ministry job doesn't mean I can't do youth ministry. So I started getting involved with the youth group. And then after we've been there for a little bit, one of the deacons said, come talk with me. He said, we've been talking a lot about hiring a youth minister and didn't really want to get into that whole process, didn't know that it'd be too big of a mess. And then you showed up and you started working with the group already. Would you like to be our youth minister? Okay. I started doing that. And after I'd been there a little bit longer than that, one of the guys on ministry staff, one of our elders, Steve Ennis, I don't know if you know him, he decided to move to Utah. And didn't know exactly when he was going to move to Utah, but he was scheduled to teach a class at the college that fall, and didn't know if he'd be around for the whole thing. And so I said, well, can you recommend anybody? I said, well, at that point I was almost done with my master's degree. And so he asked me, would you like to start teaching? Would you like to cover my class for me? Right place, right time, right? Coincidence. No. You can look at it that way. I can't look at it that way. I've shared that in my ministry, this is a big part of it. This is the biggest part of it. But I don't see this as my full ministry. It's the teaching at the college and working at the camp. Fills out ministry for me. And the way that these pieces just came together in ways that I could not have planned. If I didn't have those hands on my shoulders, it couldn't have happened. And all the ways that our move to Lapeer and working there happened, I'm not there anymore. My life would not be the same. My faith would not be the same if not for that time. God incidents, or God thing, as we talked about on Sunday night. In the next chapter, a gentle nudge of a 2x4. Like I said, I don't work at Lapeer anymore. I loved it. I don't know if I was good at youth ministry. It would depend on what day you ask me if I felt like I was. Sometimes I thought I really got this figured out. Sometimes I thought I'm never going to get this figured out. The end of the summer of 2008, I really thought I had it. We just finished a mission trip. And I said, that was great. I really feel like I know the whole group, and I know where we're headed, and I've got this youth ministry thing figured out, and we're going to be okay. The next month, I got invited to a meeting, and I didn't work there anymore. I told people there that my plan was to be a gray-haired youth minister, and not just right here. That I was happy where I was, and I just wanted to keep doing that. I had opportunities to interview other places, and people asked me, would you be interested? And nope, I like where I am. I'm going to be where I am, and just let me do my thing. I'm building something good here. You know, sometimes we need help overcoming some stubborn inertia when God's got something different planned for us. And it might just be the way I look at it, but it sure feels like the gentle nudge of a 2x4 across the face. You keep telling everybody you're going to work here forever. You're done. And I said, well, okay. I settled into fill-in preaching, because not too long after that, Lapeer was looking for a minister, and we were still on good terms, so I started doing fill-in preaching. And most of you probably know this story. And I thought, well, this is great. I enjoy preaching. I do it every now and then. Not really thinking about, well, they're going to hire someone, and they will not need fill-ins. And then they did. They hired a minister, and I didn't know what to do. But I kind of enjoyed that preaching. I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. One thing I forgot to mention is just before the same year, I think, that I lost a job there, we bought a house so we could be there in the Lapeer area. So I didn't know what to do. I liked the idea of preaching. We just bought a house, though, and bought a house with my grandparents, which which was good, but you don't want to turn around and flip it. That doesn't look good to the seven aunts and uncles that I have on that family. And so I said, well, I guess we're here for a little bit. Figure out what's going on. I don't know. And as you probably know, that next Monday is when Bill and I sat down at the camp. We're both just looking to eat some burgers and pulled pork. And I found out that that same week was when Don said that he was setting a retirement date. We should keep talking. You know, I don't know all of your stories. You know more of mine now. I don't know where my story's going. I'd like to think I've got more than four chapters in me. I like to think that there's more coming. And, you know, telling this scares me a little bit sometimes to see how quickly things change. And it would, on the one hand, we talk about, it's how you look at it. I could very easily tell a lot of this in a very different tone about every time that I think I've got it figured out, it gets ripped from me. I don't see it that way. I feel like I can't see it that way. I feel guidance and gentle nudges. And I don't know what's coming next, because right now, I sure like being here. And I don't see anything that's going to make me want to be any other place else. And then I get scared when I say things like that. Because we know how God works. You know, I feel very blessed to be standing here in front of you guys. It's my favorite thing to do right now. I realized that sometime earlier this year when we were talking about what you like to do. I like to come talk to you guys. And see your faces and to hear reaction afterward. And I can't imagine wanting to be anyplace else. But when we act in faith, when we commit faithfully, and when we say to God, I will go where you want me to go, sometimes we don't make the plans. So I'm going to keep loving being here as long as I can. I hope you're going to do the same. And I'm glad that I got to hear some of your stories the last couple weeks in Bill's Sunday night class, and I hope I'm going to get to hear more stories. And I don't know how much of a so what there is this morning. Maybe this is just navel gazing. But I think thinking is good. Thinking about God is even better. And maybe, in addition to maybe knowing me a little better, maybe as you go home when you're driving or sitting at home later, maybe it gives you the opportunity to think about your chapters and what's brought you here. And we can start dreaming about what the next chapter for Romeo is. We can start dreaming about what God can do. And I think that means talking about gentleness next week. I hope so. Sometimes we got to stop. Sometimes we have a little more to say. And I wasn't done talking about faith yet. So, I'm done now. And if there's anything you need, I know we ran a little long this morning. If there's anything you need, we'll stay as long as we need to. This is family time. We take care of one another. And if you need prayers, if you need hugs, if you need baptism, if you need anything, if you need to take those steps in your story, in your faith, come let us know. We're here for you. Come forward as we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, for haste you.